You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like that a lot.
The Rough Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Melville.
All right, good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Wednesday, July 23rd, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome back to our live edition of the Russ Melville Show. We've been off for a few days, had to make our way down to Florida for Bobby Platchhorn's Meet the Experts 3. I hope you enjoyed the audio we brought back from that. It's available now online at 420radio.org. Just check the news section and you can get downloads of all the audio except the first three presentations. There was a technical glitch with the recorder, namely, I didn't turn it on. But other than that, we got most of the rest of it, and you can check that out again at 420radio.org. Also, looking forward to the future, I am in negotiations with a couple of different organizations to bring to you on November 4th, Marijuana Election Night 2014. We are going to go real big on this one, covering every single marijuana vote, from the statewide votes, to the county votes, to the city votes, from coast to coast, and all the way up to the Great White North of Alaska. That'll be Election Night Tuesday, November 4th, and who knows, folks, there's a possibility we'll even get picked up by major national news media, so stay tuned for that. Joining us from our Colorado office, we've got Priscilla Seibin in the house. How you doing, Priscilla?
Woo-hoo!
The studio audience loves you. I hope you had fun on your time off and managed to enjoy some of that Colorado legality.
Oh my gosh, I try not to take it for granted. Every day is a blessing.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. Priscilla brings us our 420 radio news, and after the first break, we'll be bringing you some of the headlines, including my favorite headline of the year. We are on the ballot in the state of Oregon. That's right, we'll be voting on legalization, but we got some other headlines to get to as well, including Illinois opening up its medical marijuana for kids with epilepsy. We have got news from Seattle, some statistics on their pot tickets since, public use tickets since legalization went into effect. Philadelphia is still overwhelmingly arresting people, mostly black people, for marijuana possession. We've got news out of San Jose where they were trying to overturn some new dispensary regulations, and South Portland, Maine, it looks like they'll be voting on legalization as well. So we'll get to all of that right after our first break. And then in our second segment, we're going to go behind the headlines and take a look at the high tax rates in Washington State and Colorado that are causing the major financial organization Moody's to downgrade their estimates as to how much tax revenue Washington and Colorado will earn. So we'll take a look at that in behind the headlines. Then at half past, we are joined live in studio by the chief petitioner of New Approach Oregon, the Control, Regulation, and Taxation of Marijuana Industrial Hemp Act here in Oregon. Anthony Johnson will be joining us to give us all the details of what's next in the campaign to legalize marijuana in the state of Oregon. And speaking of Oregon legalization, at the end of the show, we'll have time for a radical rant because, well, you heard it in 2010 in California, you heard it in 2012 in Washington State, and once again, 2014 in Oregon, the stoners against legalization have reared their ugly heads to defend the status quo of medical marijuana. We'll tear apart their concerns in the radical rant. Then, in Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio, we'll take your calls at 971-533-7111. Too many numbers in my head today. We'll take your live calls. We'll also talk about Snoop Dogg getting high in the White House and some other stories of note in the marijuana news. Thanks for joining us. It's 420radio.org. This is the Russ Melville Show, and we'll be right back with Priscilla Seibin in the news after this.
Russ Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, the activist radio station.
Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz thinks it's okay for medical marijuana patients to go to federal prison. On May 30th, she voted against an amendment that would respect Florida's new laws and protect Florida's patients. Even though 88% of Florida voters support medical marijuana, why would Congresswoman Wasserman Schultz vote to send patients like this to prison? Is Congresswoman Wasserman Schultz out of touch with Florida?
The Hot Box Podcast with Matt Lee and Ian Baker from Kalispell, Montana. Replaying Thursdays at 11 Pacific on 4.
I don't use marijuana, but as a teacher of 36 years, I can tell you lots of other people use it. I don't believe in prohibition. I don't think it works. Prohibiting it hasn't stopped anybody from getting a hold of it. I would like to see it regulated so that maybe kids can't get a hold of it so easily. I know they get a hold of it now very easily. I support a new approach to marijuana. I support legalizing it. It's with us. It's not going to go away. And if we can get money through the taxation, we can also educate our kids about it. That's why I support it.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Priscilla Simon.
Hey folks, it's your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, July 23rd, 2014. So it's official. The Oregon Secretary of State's office has confirmed that New Approach Oregon has submitted more than enough valid signatures to qualify their marijuana legalization initiative for the 2014 election in November. The Control, Regulation, and Taxation of Marijuana and Industrial Hemp Act will legalize the personal possession of marijuana and marijuana products by adults age 21 and older, including 1 ounce of dried usable marijuana away from the home, 8 ounces or a half pound of dried usable marijuana at the home, 16 ounces or a pound of marijuana infused edibles, 72 ounces or a six pack of marijuana infused liquids, and 1 ounce of marijuana concentrate. Oregon will also allow home cultivation of 4 plants and create a wide open commercial system for marijuana with taxes capped at $35 per ounce. Oregon joins Alaska in voting on statewide marijuana legalization this November, and Florida voting on medical marijuana. More details can be found at newapproachoregon.com.
Yes, yes, we are so excited here in Oregon to have the opportunity to vote on this. And again, at half past, we'll have Anthony Johnson, the chief petitioner of the campaign, joining us in studio to take your live questions through chat, or you can call us up and ask your live questions about the New Approach Oregon proposal. There's a whole bunch. I really hope that this passes. I really expect it to pass. And I just... partially, for the legalization aspect, but also partially for the people who counseled Oregon to not do it in 2014 and to wait till 2016. It will be really nice to be able to say, I told you so.
Illinois opened up its extremely restrictive medical marijuana program this week to cover children suffering from intractable epilepsy. Governor Pat Quinn signed a new law allowing doctors to give permission for minor patients to use medical marijuana with a parent's permission. Minors will only be allowed to have non-smokable forms of marijuana. The new law will go into effect in January, which is when regulators believe they will have the broader medical marijuana program operational for all qualifying patients. Illinois will not allow for personal cultivation of medicine, and qualifying for the medical marijuana program will be more difficult than almost any other medical marijuana state.
Yeah, this is, Illinois just basically trying to cover their butt when it comes to this overwhelming emotional need to help these kids with epilepsy. It's just, it's undeniable when you bring these kids who are seizing 100 times a day into a state house and shame a legislator that they can't help but want to help those kids. This is something that should have been written to law into the first place, and it should be available in all 50 states. But it does prove something. It does prove that when those opponents of medical marijuana were, you know, they came against us in the 90s and said, oh, there's no evidence. We don't have any evidence of this. We need scientific study. It needs to go through the FDA. You're just cherry picking anecdotes. Funny how that turned around when it was epileptic kids and these people could approve these CBD only laws and approve this change in Illinois without all the scientific evidence, only going off of anecdotes, only going off emotional cases. Hey, I'm glad they did. I'm glad emotion swayed the day. But I just wonder why it takes an epileptic kid and why a person, an adult in pain, doesn't have that same power.
Deb Green, the 65-year-old retired woman who camped all night to buy Seattle's first legal marijuana, has donated her purchase to the city's Museum of History and Industry. Green donated her $40 purchase of 2 grams of marijuana, as well as the t-shirt she was wearing and the book she read in line at Cannabis City, Seattle's first legal marijuana store. The museum will display the marijuana and artifacts alongside others it has collected as part of a traveling exhibit for April of 2015 dedicated to exploring prohibition.
And how much more perfect could it be that the first person to buy weed in Seattle legally was named Green?
that worked out really nice.
Yeah. $40 for 2 grams is awfully steep, but you know, we'll be talking about that tax situation in Behind the Headlines here coming up right after this next break, examining, you know, just how high Washington's taxes actually are. And even there in Colorado, the taxes are 15% excise, 10% sales tax plus local sales taxes. What kind of prices are you finding there, Priscilla, in Colorado?
Yeah, truthfully, it's about, I don't know, like $50 or so for an eighth, which is, I think, is about right. I mean, I'd rather buy that at a store than waiting around some shoddy parking lot for some shoddy dude and some shoddy weed.
Yeah, it's something. So, it's something when the prices are like close to the black market, right, or close to the gray market, because then you can say, well, $50 in the parking lot for some got some, or $50 at the store where it can choose from all these different things that have been inspected and have labels. That's an easy pick.
Yeah.
But if the choice
is
$50 an eighth from the parking lot versus $125 an eighth in the store, now you got some wiggle room. So we hope Washington gets its supply problems fixed and that those prices can come down soon. I know when Oregon passes our legalization with taxes capped at $1.25 a gram, those prices will have to come down.
Yeah. In other Seattle news, a new study shows that even marijuana legalization doesn't change some of the racist and classist enforcements of marijuana laws. Since I-502 legalized possession of marijuana in December 2012, analysis of 82 tickets for public use of marijuana issued in the first 6 months of 2013 found that 36% ticketed were African American, compared to blacks making up just 8% of Seattle's population. 46% of those ticketed had indications of homelessness, and over two-thirds ticketed were under the age of 40. Most tickets were issued in the parks of Seattle's downtown core, where many homeless people gather.
Well, this just indicates, or just kind of reiterates, what happens with drug law enforcement in general. You know, the reason that black people are picked up a lot more for marijuana smoking oftentimes in the cities is because they're living in places where it's, you know, urban and congested and there is no basement or, you know, place to go smoke. Right. So they get caught smoking out on the stoop, whereas the white kids in the suburbs, why, you know, they've got a basement, they got a backyard, they got wherever they want to go. So, I mean, that is part of it. And it just goes to illustrate that even though we are legalizing, there's still a long way to go because we're not truly legal until we're equal. And that is, we got to have the same rights as beer drinkers and cigar smokers. If I'm a cigar smoker, even though smoking is extremely restricted these days, there are still places I can go and smoke a cigar. I can smoke it in the park in some places, right? So we've got to give people a place to legally smoke. It seems ridiculous to me that the person who's inside smoking in their house isn't hurting anybody. They're fine. They're legal. But the homeless guy in the park, off in the corner, probably not even bugging anybody, he's got to be, you know, ticketed. He's got to be punished for some reason. Let's have some designated smoking areas, designated toking areas for some of these people to be able to use. It just seems unfair. And again, it leads to this disproportionate enforcement because you're going to find more black folks in the cities, or you're going to find more homeless people that are toking, they don't have a place to go. Legalization needs to treat us all equally. Just shows that we still have some ways to go.
Yeah. Meanwhile, in Philadelphia, since the city council overwhelmingly voted to decriminalize marijuana possession 1 month ago, 262 citizens were busted for possession. The council's 13-3 vote will overcome a veto from Mayor Michael Nutter, who opposes the measure but has yet to act on it. But the city police commissioner vows to keep arresting people for possession even if the measure becomes a law. The fuck? 200 of the 264 were arrested and later released without bail. 140 of the 264 were only charged with possession and no other crime, and most of the rest were only charged with other marijuana-related offenses, such as paraphernalia or intent to deliver. However, during the same period last year, 476 people were charged with possession in Philadelphia. Racial breakdown of the arrests is unknown, but previous reports found 83% of possession arrests in Philadelphia are of African Americans. One place where there wasn't a single marijuana arrest was a weekend fish concert where marijuana use by young white people was glaringly obvious.
Mm-hmm. You know, I can't wait for the day that I'm watching NBC Nightly News and Brian Williams breaks the middle of a story to say, "The fuck?" That would be great.
Seriously.
But yeah, you're right. It does. The police commissioner said, even if the city passes this, even if the mayor vetoes it and the city council, overcomes the veto and it makes it the law of the city police commissioner says he'll still bust people based on the state law. And this is despite the fact that everywhere else in Pennsylvania, the cities have basically said, look, we'll issue a summons, a ticket, basically, to people that they have to go to court or whatever. We're not going to arrest people. Only in Philadelphia where they do this. And given the 83% racial breakdown of it being African Americans, you can see exactly why they want to keep doing that. It's so they can keep their thumb on certain neighborhoods, on certain people, be able to get them in the system, get their fingerprints, and harass them. The fact that they're not busting the white kids at the fish concert also makes it pretty damn obvious.
Despite offering free weed to petition signatures, activists in San Jose, California came up only a little more than two-thirds of the signatures they needed to place a referendum on new dispensary regulations on the ballot. Under the new regulations, marijuana dispensaries are zoned to areas representing less than 1% of the city's area, putting about 70 of the city's 80 dispensaries out of business. On Friday at 4:20 p.m., the activists who had claimed to have gathered 75,000 of the over 33,000 signatures they needed found that they were about 10,000 signatures shy of the quota. Dave Hodges, owner of the All-American Cannabis Club and proponent of the referendum, told San Jose Mercury News, quote, "At some locations, 75 to 80% of the people who told us they were registered voters actually weren't," end quote. Most current shops will have until July 2015 to find a new location or close.
Well, what a surprise. The people right? that were trying to bribe people for signatures, hey, we'll give you free pot for a signature, found out that a lot of the people signing them were given bonus signatures. What a surprise. Oh my God. This shows you once again that this is why you need professionals running your signature gathering. And, I'm sorry for the people of San Jose that are going to have far less access to medical marijuana, but, you just got to pick better leadership, I guess.
Yeah. Different plan. And voters in South Portland, Maine will likely be voting on legalization of marijuana in the city. Last year, its larger neighbor, Portland, voted to legalize, and activists are currently working to present petitions for legalization in York and Lewiston. South Portland City Clerk certified that over 959 ballot signatures have been submitted on the petition. However, the first step in the process is that the City Council has the opportunity to pass the initiative, which seems unlikely as they have already signaled their opposition to the measure. In that case, under the law, the initiative goes before voters in November. The initiative also declares the city's support for legalization of marijuana in the entire state of Maine, a proposal that will likely be placed before the voters in 2016.
All right, for South Portland, let's get all the Portlands in the world legalized. I'm for that. This is kind of a symbolic thing because under the city law, it would be legal, but under the state law, it would still be illegal. You still have that conflict going on. But Maine is pretty easygoing for marijuana as it is. You have to have over like 25 plants growing before you're going to get a felony. They're decrimmed up to an ounce. So things are already pretty good. They're just going to get better. And this shows you how the professionals do it. They don't run out and try to just do a statewide legalization first thing off the bat. They start building up the cities, right? Let's get the biggest city, Portland. They got that in 2013. Now let's go after three of the larger cities in South Portland, York, and Lewiston. Build that local support, then go for statewide in 2016. They will do it. Mark my words. Hey! That bell tells us that it is officially 420 in America's cannabis capital, Colorado. Psilocybin's already got the vape pen out. She's got an important safety meeting to get to, and we'll be back with Behind the Headlines, taking a look at Washington and Colorado taxes right after this. See ya, silly. Radio, the home of marijuana experts.
Join us for the International Cannabis Business Conference September 13th and 14th in the Portland Ballroom at the Oregon Convention Center. The International Cannabis Business Conference will focus on the emerging cannabis industry in Oregon, the United States, and around the world, putting you in front of the industry's foremost entrepreneurs, political leaders, and attorneys. Also showcasing over 40 cannabis-related industry exhibitors, offering VIP lunches and free nightly networking events. Prepare yourself for America's next great industry.
The pistachio. Green, natural, and available without prescription in all 50 states. He's fine.
NORML stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks are far less than those posed by legal drugs. Are you a hypocrite? If you live a closeted cannabis lifestyle, you are. Read about seven people living a closeted cannabis lifestyle who are on the verge of coming out in The Hypocrites by Mara K. Eaton. Available at areyouahypocrite.net. You can purchase the book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, also available on iTunes. Check out Mara K. Eaton on Facebook as well. Learn more at areyouahypocrite.net. At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Time for Behind the Headlines. It's 23 after the hour, and the story today is how Moody's, the bond rating service, has downgraded Washington's expected pot tax revenue forecast. Yes, and this is something that we need to be weary of here, leery of, I should say, because part of what gets marijuana legalization sold to the public out there are the promises of great tax revenues. And we can't afford to be portrayed as people that are exaggerating this, as people trying to pull the wool over people's eyes. So now that we're getting some accurate readings from Washington and Colorado's marketplace, we need to put that into effect as we promote marijuana legalization in the other states. Now, Moody's points out that they've got slow to start sales. That is, Washington State has only opened 24 stores, I should say. They've got high taxes, and they have very easily accessible medical marijuana, saying that that might translate to less than expected revenues from the legal recreational market. Now, part of that, the big part, the tax part that we always point out, is 25% at the production, wholesale, and retail level. Each time, 25% each time. Plus, you got state and local sales tax. And when you combined all that together, the effective tax rate on marijuana in Washington State is 44%, and that tax is just too damn high. Moody's analyst Andrea Unsworth, the author of the report, writes, quote, The tax structure in Washington state is likely to be a major deterrent for consumers who do not see the value in obtaining the product from a storefront as opposed to a medical dispensary, end quote. So this is causing the forecast to be downgraded. Washington's forecast has been revised in June, anticipating $51.2 million in revenues from fees and taxes for the 2015 to 2017 budget, and double that in the following 2 years. But so far, we've seen $318,000 in tax revenues from the first 10 days of Washington sales, and that's good. Nobody wants to look a gift horse in the mouth, but the medical market gives you just about as much diversity of choice of the product and just about the same quality, but you don't have to pay that effective 44% tax rate. And getting the recommendation in Washington state is easy enough to make it worthwhile. This has caused the Washington state regulators to want to severely restrict medical marijuana as a way of getting people into the recreational market. That, of course, causes the medical people to complain that legalization is killing medical marijuana rather than to point the finger at lack of regulation of medical marijuana. Now, continuing the examination, in Colorado, since recreational sales have begun in January 1st, back in 2012, the prediction was $67 million in annual revenues, but they dropped that estimate in March down to $54 million, and the most recent estimate in June is $30.6 million. In the June report, the forecasters said, quote, "One reason that revenue has lagged behind earlier estimates is that medical marijuana users have not converted to the adult use market," end quote. Now, of course, taxes are lower in Colorado. We're talking 15% excise, 10% sales tax, or vice versa. I forget which order they go in. And the local taxes that might be in effect there, but nowhere near Washington state's effective 44% tax rate. Now, in addition to the high tax rate, the article here also points out, this is in the Washington Post, by the way, that there is a severe supply limitation in Washington state. Only 7% of the market has opened up. There's 334 pot stores they could possibly have. They've only got 24 open and far fewer growers licensed than expected. I personally believe part of that has to do with the Liquor Control Commission in Washington state and people who are used to liquor not having a really good handle on how marijuana works. When they first forecasted issuing the licenses for growers in Washington state, they have a staff of 18 and they'd figured they'd get 300, 400 applications. They got over 7,000 applications for growers in Washington state. And that's why it's been so slow for them to go through all these applications and figure out, you know, who's going to be the legitimate growers in the state. So there's still a severe shortage. We have stores that are limiting purchases to just a few grams, sometimes only an eighth, you know, 3.5 grams per purchase. We have stores that are closing their doors. Seattle's Cannabis City had to close their doors for 10 days because they sold out of 10 pounds of pot in 3 days. So this is causing a whole lot of people to take a new look at these estimates, at these forecasts, and to come up with more realistic numbers. The good news is this can only benefit the legalization campaigns in Oregon, Alaska, and Washington, D.C. to be able to give real world numbers instead of forecasts that might be shown as exaggerations. All right, folks, when we come back, we are going to be talking about Oregon legalization with the man who got it, his name behind it to put it on the ballot with the help of a whole lot of support. Anthony Johnson from New Approach Oregon is in the studio next. Stick around.
To the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, fighting prohibition since 2012. The Marijuana Business Association, or MJBA, are proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show. It is the mission of the MJBA to establish integrity and legitimacy, create common market standards, provide market intelligence, and develop best ethical business practices for participants in the emerging legal marijuana industry, including commercial hemp, medical marijuana, and recreational marijuana for adults.
Learn more about the Marijuana Business Association and visit mjba.net to join today. That's mjba.net. The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, treat law enforcement with respect and stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney." Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com. Hemp Radio, replaying Wednesdays at 10 Pacific on 420radio.org.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com and follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
The International Cannabis Business Conference takes place September 13th and 14th at the Portland Ballroom in the Oregon Convention Center in Portland, Oregon. Featured speakers include Oregon Senator Floyd Prezansky, U.S. Congressman Earl Blumenauer, Daily Dish blogger Andrew Sullivan, author Doug Fine, and Harborside CEO Steve D'Angelo. To learn more, visit our website at internationalcbc.com.
Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belleville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's 32 after the hour, and of course, the big news we've been talking about has been getting Oregon legalization on the ballot. That's right, the Regulation, Control, and Taxation of Marijuana and Industrial Hemp Act, or the overly long acronym ACT, has made the ballot. And we've got Anthony Johnson here to discuss that with us. He's the chief petitioner for the measure. Anthony, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
All right, let's get that mic focused on you. Point that at it. And yeah, should be good. Actually, sideways. Pull it sideways so that the... There, like that. There you go. And put that in front. There we go. Zane, our friend here, is trying to fix things. Are you there?
I'm here. Thanks a lot, Russ.
There you are. I have to actually turn the mic up. That's my fault. So Anthony's back and we're excited about getting the measure on the ballot. One of our listeners posted the link for the Secretary of State's office. We got something like 91,000 signatures that we needed.
It was more than 87,213.
So you don't care how many more.
You know, I consider getting on the ballots pass fail, and we pass. So
you don't get extra credit for more signatures.
And
huh?
It was on the you know, the Secretary of State has their formulas they work out. They do a sample of 1,000. If you don't make it on 1,000, then they pull out a bigger sample. And we made on the first 1,000. So
oh wow,
I'm proud of that. So we made on the first 1,000. They verified validity rate was over 70% on the bulk, and then they have some formula that goes through when duplicates get mixed, and they knock your validity rate down to like 64.4%, but we're on first hurdle down and a couple of big ones, including winning on election day to go.
All right. So we've got to register voters. We saw you on the local news at the Pioneer Courthouse Square doing registration drives and pointing out, you know, we got to point out this isn't a done deal, folks. And we are talking about a midterm election that does tend to have a more conservative turnout. Now, Oregon has the advantage of doing all vote by mail. We're complete vote by mail. So you got no excuse. We're going to mail you a ballot to legalize a half pound of marijuana. You just have to be registered. So give them some ideas on that, how they can get registered and what you're doing to boost that, get out the vote.
Yeah, the first thing to do, go to newapproachoregon.com, sign up, spread the word. If you can, contribute, agree to volunteer, phone bank. We will have we will be registering voters all across the state. We will be fighting for every single vote all across the state. As Russ mentioned, voter turnout is lower in midterm elections due to the mail-in ballot. Oregon still has a higher turnout than most states. It's higher than most states' presidential elections still. So we have the turnout to win. Polling shows that we can win, have a great chance of winning. When Oregon likely 2014 voters are polled, But get registered. Make sure you're registered to vote. You can go to the Secretary of State's website. If you've moved, you need to update your address. Tell your friends about it. And most importantly, sign up at newapproachoregon.com and let's win this election.
Yeah, let's do that because, you know, I've heard every excuse there is because I've been out there gathering signatures and registering voters for years now. And I've heard every excuse people have for not voting or not registering. It doesn't matter. I don't want my name on a list. They're all the same. The parties are all the same. They don't care. It doesn't matter. Folks, we're going to mail you a piece of paper, and all you got to do is fill in one oval. You don't have to vote for anyone else. Nobody, you forget it. Screw it. You don't forget everybody else. Just go down to the spot that says whatever measure it ends up being. Legalize marijuana. Yes. Mail that thing back in. Drop it off at the courthouse square, whatever. Let's get marijuana legalized. Now, taking a look at this legalization, Anthony, what are some of the main details of it as far as what would be legal?
So first and foremost, we do not impact the Oregon Medical Marijuana Act. So patients and growers and caregivers that register in the act are protected. So we completely protect the Oregon Medical Marijuana Act.
Judges approve of that.
We allow for, you know, home cultivation, similar to brewing beer, making wine at home. 4 plants, 8 ounces per household. You can only travel with 1 ounce. So 1 ounce becomes legalized. And growers, processors, retailers, and wholesalers can get licenses regulated through the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, the same way they regulate beer and wine. And you can get a license to, you know, make a living. And it really sets up Oregon cannabis industry, growers and retailers, processors to follow in the footsteps of our microbrewery and winery industry.
Yeah.
And that will create thousands of jobs and generate millions of dollars in revenue for education, public safety, mental health, and substance abuse treatment programs, and really set Oregon at the forefront of cannabis production as we look to be a springboard for more states to legalize in 2016. You know, it's very important that Oregon, Alaska, Washington, D.C. most likely have great showings and win in 2014. And then I think a lot of your listeners and viewers will be interested to know that, you know, national funders are looking at these states and are looking to replicate success we've had to move on to California, New Mexico, Nevada, Massachusetts, Maine, potentially even Missouri in 2016.
All right. We're speaking with Anthony Johnson, the chief petitioner from New Approach Oregon, the legalization that just made the ballot here in the state. And our phone lines are open at 971-533-7111 if you've got any questions. We've also got some questions in the chat room. And so speed limit wanted to confirm. So that 8 ounce thing, that's just for the what you've grown and harvested at home. You couldn't buy a half pound at a shop.
Correct. We limit public possession to 1 ounce. So you won't be able to buy more than an ounce at a store, and you're only legal to possess 1 ounce.
Okay. So that confirms it. Now, with the home growing, you point out 4 plants, and it should be noted that that's 4 plants per household, correct?
Correct. Four plants per household.
Okay. So you got you and 2 roommates. You don't each get to grow 4 plants.
You each get a, you know, split up those 4 plants, you get 2 each.
Okay. So another thing that I found to be a very compelling detail of the New Approach Oregon plan is not just legalizing the 4 plants and the 8 ounces, but also downgrading the penalties for amounts more than that. And if I remember correctly, it was like up to twice as much was a Class B ticket, and 4 times as much was a misdemeanor. And you had to have more than 4 times these limits before it went into felony territory. Is that correct?
That is correct. So under the New Approach Oregon measure, you know, 1 ounce is legal away from home. If you go above that 1 ounce, you're not automatically guilty of a misdemeanor or a felony. That'll be decriminalized. So double is decriminalized. Triple is a misdemeanor, and over 4 times you become, that's when you hit a felony.
So, okay, so you'd have to have a quarter pound in possession to hit felony levels.
Over a quarter pound.
Yeah.
Away from home. To be a felon at home, you have to have more than 2 pounds.
Right. Yeah, because that also applies, you know, and we're also talking about the pound of edibles. So you'd have to have more than 4 pounds of edibles, and the 72 ounces of liquids, you'd have to have, like, God, 2 gallons.
So really the number one theme of our measure is to bring marijuana into a regulated market. Stop treating marijuana use as a crime. That policy has failed. Also, it's totally immoral, and we're wasting so many law enforcement resources, judicial costs, tax dollars, enforcing marijuana laws. So minor marijuana offenses don't need to be felonies. And we really went to great lengths to make sure that we improve the law and we didn't harm nonviolent marijuana consumers in any way whatsoever. So we had, you know, experienced criminal defense attorneys like Leland Berger and Paul Loney and the ACLU look over this measure and make sure we did not make anything worse, didn't want to have any penalties worse. While this legalizes only for adults over 21, we do not make the penalties for minors any worse than they are today. So so we legalized for over 21. We greatly improved the law, and I believe everybody should support the New Approach Oregon measure. Read it, read the information, sign up, spread the word. Once again, newapproachoregon.com.
Okay, so this, because these were concerns I heard from some people who worried, is it going to affect medical marijuana? No. Is it going to make things worse for people 18 to 21 who tend to be the greatest, you know, rate-wise, consumers of marijuana? No, it's no worse than things are today. Let's look at the licensure. There's four levels of licensure. Grower, well, producer is grower, same thing, right? Producer, processor, wholesaler, retailer. So that differs from Washington in adding that wholesaler category. What is that? Someone who buys from producers and then resells to retailers?
And, yeah, to retailers and other wholesalers.
Okay, and I saw a line that said no tied house provisions. So this means you could have any of any license?
That's correct. So we looked at Colorado and we looked at Washington. Washington does not allow what's called vertical integration. So you cannot be a producer, you know, a grower and a retail outlet. And believe that's one of the reasons why they have supply problems today. In Colorado, they mandate that stores sell 70% of what they grow. They have to grow 70% of what they provide in the stores. And we felt that it's best to give cannabis industry entrepreneurs, business people, and businesses the flexibility to operate the business as they see fit. And we let the market dictate what, you know, what happens. We have rules and regulations in place, but they're sensible rules and regulations. And if you want to be only a grower, you can be only a grower. But if you want to be the next McMinimins or Rogue Brewery and you want to have a grow facility, be a processor and a retailer, you can do that as well.
And you could also be a wholesaler. You could sell your excess to other places if you had to.
Definitely.
That's fantastic. All right. So in getting these licenses, any residency requirements or any money required? Because I know, like in, was it Colorado, they don't allow out-of-state investment even.
We have no provision stopping out-of-state investment or out-of-state actors.
Okay. That's also good news from our side. We're speaking with Anthony Johnson from New Approach Oregon, and we've got some questions in the chat room that we're getting to as well. Anthony, can you stay for the next segment as well? We'll cover some of these.
I can. I'll stay.
Okay. First one that we've got is, what, if anything, would you have changed strategically if you needed more signatures than you did?
Well, I'm glad I don't have to worry about that issue. And I really think there is not much that I would have changed this time around. I think we have put forward the most progressive measure with the best chance to victory. And I think that modeling after the microbrew and winery industries is the way to go for Oregon, the way to go for consumers and patients. And I'm really proud of the work that went into this measure. It was a 2-year process, starting as a legislative bill, input from a lot of people, from a lot of walks of life, from activists both locally and nationally, to legislators, to policymakers, even people that opposed us. We address people's concerns, and I'm really proud of the measure that we put together.
Yeah, I am just starting to go through it with my fine-tooth comb that I used with Prop 19 and with Amendment 64 and I-502 and Measure 80, and I'm telling you, this is the tightest, best-written one I've had to go through yet, and I'm really excited about it. We're going to come back after this break. We're going to pay some bills. We'll talk more with Anthony Johnson. We got questions from Speed Limit and Gothic Prophet in the chat room that we've got to get to, and I've got some devil's advocacy as to how our opponents might attack us. Curious to see what we're going to do about that. You're listening to the Russ Belbel Show. We'll be right back after this.
Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, your ticket to the Boston Freedom Rally.
Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
Great. Drugs make me strong. Drugs make me smart. Drugs make me feel good. Drugs make me cool.
You believe that crap? Huh? You believe all that stuff they're handing you about drugs? You want to believe in something? How about yourself? Don't do drugs.
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420radio.org. New Approach Oregon is a coalition of Oregon citizens who believe that treating marijuana use as a crime has failed, costing taxpayers millions in law enforcement resources. Our approach will regulate, tax, and legalize marijuana for adults in Oregon. We can move Oregon forward and create new revenue for critical services. Visit our website at newapproachoregon.com or our page on Facebook at New Approach Oregon. Thank you.
The truth.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
You have offended my family.
Hey, this is great, man.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
I know nothing.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
We don't need no stinking budget.
Down the centuries, you have slurred the meaning of the words, we, the people.
Be warned, this is not your mother's marijuana.
You could ask yourself a question, do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. I want to have them answered immediately.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Radical Rant.
All right, welcome back, folks. We'll have the official rant in hour two today. Since we've got Anthony Johnson, the chief petitioner of New Approach Oregon, in the studio, we asked him to stay extra, and he so graciously agreed. So welcome back, Anthony.
Thank you so much.
All right, so questions from our chat room. We've got one here from Speed Limit, who wanted to know, based on the results of Measure 80 in 2012 that got 46% of the vote, in what areas of the state or in what demographics do you feel we need to better target our message in order to win in 2014?
Yeah, overall, I just think we need to get our message out all across the state. The Measure 80 campaign was not funded enough to get out a message about, you know, the harms of prohibition. And so we believe that our well-regulated model, modeling after the microbrew and winery industry, modeling cannabis commerce after the microbrewery and winery industry, that message resonates with demographics all across the state. Our first commercial was Margie Harris, a 80 plus year old school teacher of 36 years in Oregon. Yesterday on the news was featured Meg, one of our volunteers, a 62 year old grandmother who's never used marijuana. So we're going to take our message all across the state. You know, polls generally show that, you know, people over 65, women with kids have the most concerns, but generally speaking, regulation works better than the black market. Licensed, audited, inspected stores do a better job keeping marijuana out of the hands of kids than drug cartels, criminal organizations, and, you know, street drug dealers. And so this message resonates with people all across demographics. So we are going to fight for every vote all across the state of Oregon.
All right. We have a question here about the local media. Recently, the Oregonian, the state's largest newspaper, posted links to an article by PolitiFact that had called a stat on the New Approach Oregon website false, as it reported 12,000 marijuana arrests per year, and the stats seem to say about 2,000. What is the plan to cover for things like that, or to deal with any media attacks in the future?
So the first stat that we put on our page was that we are wasting resources arresting and citing thousands of Oregonians every year. And that's in 2012, it was 2,808 total people in Oregon arrested and cited. And then in our facts portion of backing up that statement, we cited the Oregon State Police criminal statistics, which called them all arrests. So I have a hard time believing we should be blamed for how the Oregon State Police state their statistics, and we link to their page. So we went back and we just changed it to arrest or citations to set the record straight. We weren't trying to mislead anything. We were citing the statistics that the Oregon State Police put out. So I think the Oregonian is nitpicking a little bit, but we have a great communications team. Peter Zuckerman came over from the Marriage Equality Campaign, and we respond to everything quickly. We make sure our message is heard, and we stay on message. And as these things come up, we'll address them and move on.
Yeah, it's nitpickery for sure. I remember I've found numerous times when I've been looking around the Oregon State Police page, they have buried down in one of those things a spreadsheet where they keep track of just arrests. They don't keep track of the statistics. And it always came up to about 199, 200 a month. So I was kind of like, yeah, when they said about 2,000, 2,400, that did sound a little more realistic as to what the actual arrests are. But still, ticketing people takes time. Takes administrative time.
And this debate, whether police are wasting time arresting people or writing tickets or writing tickets and arresting people, that's a debate we'll have every day of the week. And yeah, if the Oregonian, Clatsop County District Attorney Josh Marquis wants to quibble, whether it's arrests or citations, Clatsop County District Attorney Josh Marquis, famously stated during a debate with Paul Stanford in 2012 that his office only spends $20 a year on marijuana offenses.
Right.
Let's get that PolitiFacted. And then he claims that, getting a ticket for, less than an ounce is just the same as getting a speeding ticket. Although, you have to log it in evidence. If somebody challenges it in court, they got to show up in court. So he's like, it's only 10 minutes is all they spend on marijuana offenses. Well, taking him at his word that it's only 10 minutes, there are more than 99,000 Oregonians arrested and cited over the last decade. At 10 minutes per arrest or citation, that's nearly two full years of police time that have been wasted on marijuana offenses. And we've seen in Colorado and in Washington, they've been saving money, better prioritization of law enforcement resources, because marijuana arrests and citations are down 80 to 95%.
Yeah, and that's not just for the ounce they legalize. That's all so-called marijuana crimes, because once marijuana is no longer contraband, there's no probable cause to be harassing people over it. So that's been a wonderful change. We're talking with Anthony Johnson, the chief petitioner for New Approach Oregon, the legalization that is on the ballot for November, and taking a look at some of the details in the proposal. One detail that caught people's eye was the limits on concentrates. It explicitly allows an ounce of marijuana concentrates, and those will be purchasable at stores, but it also explicitly bans homemade concentrates, not just the manufacture, but the possession of homemade concentrates. Tell us about that and why that's in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have seen a lot of stories recently, and we're only getting more and more stories about butane hash explosions and concentrates using butane, CO2, really high concentrations of THC. Those things, really need to be done in a professional manner, tested, labeled dosage requirements packaged the right way, and that's why we don't allow the possession or purchase or manufactured of home concentrates. If you're a medical marijuana cardholder, we don't impact that. But if you don't have a medical marijuana card, yeah, concentrates must be made by a licensed processor.
So a patient could still blast their own BHO.
But we do not affect the medical marijuana program.
Right. So now the on the other hand here, you know, I always, first of all, the definition of concentrates in the law is specifically for those solvented concentrates. We're not talking about bubble hash or kief.
Yeah, water. Especially kief, just the crystals off the plant, those would not be considered solvent concentrates.
Okay, so I have a friend, maybe some of our listeners know him, who's an incredible concentrates maker and has the professional equipment, but is doing it at home. Wouldn't the solution just be, you know, pay your $1,250 and get your producer license?
I mean, I think if you pay the $1,250, get your producer license, then you open yourself up to a much bigger market. You're allowed to get, you know, start getting investment, market yourself, and get it tested, get it labeled. And I think that you'll be even making, you know, bigger profits when you're licensed and regulated and instead of producing at home. I think it's very similar to people may be able to brew beer at home and it may be great beer, but unless you're licensed and regulated by the OLCC, you're not going to be able to market test your product like it really needs to be done.
Yeah, and I want my concentrates to be tested for residual butane and for impurities and other stuff like that. Don't you? I mean, asking the audience in general?
Hypothetically speaking to your audience in general, I think a majority of people want to make sure that they are getting a safe product, a consistent product. When you get a package of Oreos, it's the same Oreos every time. It's not, you know, a surprise Oreo in there every now and again. If you prefer beer or wine, your IPA is 6.5% no matter which lab tests it. It's a consistent product. There's not molds, mildews, pesticides, things that could be harmful in there. I think that's what the majority of people want. And I think we are seeing that with still a robust market in Colorado and the long lines around the block and, you know, Vancouver and Seattle. So I think a majority of people want that. And I think that over time you will see more and more people move into a regulated market and out of the illicit market.
All right. And speaking of that market, we've talked about this in the behind the headlines, the high taxes in Washington, effective tax rate of 44%. I'll just let you give the good news on the taxes.
So the tax rates in the new approach Oregon measure are a one-time tax. There's no sales tax in Oregon. So it's a one-time excise tax the first time it's sold after it's produced. So we have a $35 per ounce tax on flowers, $10 per ounce for leaf, and $5 for every marijuana plant that's sold. And so the $35 per ounce comes out to $1.25 per gram. And that's the one and only tax, and it's by weight. You know, we tie it to the consumer price index, so it kind of goes up with inflation over time, but it's a sensible tax that will generate revenue for the state. It's still projected by our conservative estimates. It'll start off generating $38 million a year for the state. And I think looking at what Colorado has generated, I think that projection is very much on target and will still generate millions of dollars a state, still create thousands of jobs, but it will allow licensed and regulated producers, processors, and retailers to compete with the illicit market.
Canada Justice in our chat room wanted to know, are there going to be changes in the testing levels that would be lower than the medical grade testing levels, or would it be the same as the medical levels?
So the Oregon Liquor Control Commission has a full year to examine the rules and regulations. Our measure goes into effect after passage on July 1st in regards to the possession limits and the home cultivation. But we do give the OLCC a full year to develop the rules and regulations. They'll look at what's going on in the medical program in Colorado and Washington, and we're likely to see something very similar to what's going on with the medical program.
Oh my gosh, we're just out of time here in this first hour. So much more to cover. Can we do one more segment?
Sure, I'll stay
top. Okay, one more segment, just a short one, and we'll get the rest of the questions in. I got stuff on the distribution of taxes, the abilities of cities and counties to ban businesses, driving standards. There's so much more to cover, so we'll get the rest of it in at the top of hour two, but that's all the time we got for this hour one. Thanks for joining us. Thanks to Anthony Johnson for being here. Zane from the Big Island sitting in with us as well, and Priscilla Sybin out there in Colorado. I'm Radical Russ Belville for 420 Radio and the Russ Belville Show. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.